Have you noticed these white tags in the auditorium here? You may not have been here last week, so let me give you a little bit of idea what those are. Each one of the tags that you see are representative of someone saying yes to God. At each one of our campuses in Waukesha, as well as Waterford and Muskego, people are saying, yes, God, whatever your next request of me is, I will go ahead and do that. Can you imagine what kind of change that will bring? Not just in our own lives, but in our church as well as in our community. It is going to be wonderful just to see what God does with each one of them. Each one is very unique, though. Some of them are very, very specific because God has been asking for a long time and some have finally said, okay, God, I get it. Yes, I will do it. Some of them are very general because some of us have a very difficult time saying, God, you know what? I know the specifics at this point, but I'll give you this blank check to be written on until you reveal to me what that yes is going to be. But there are going to be amazing things that take place just when we say yes to God. What we're going to do is inside your bulletin, you will find one of those. And so if you were not here with us last week, at some point during this service, what I want you to do is to write down what you believe God is asking of you, your next yes to him. And again, maybe you don't have a specific, and so it may be just a blank right now, a blank check saying, God, write on it, reveal it to me. And then at the end of the service, what I'm going to do is actually invite you to come and switch that out for some of the tags that we have up front here as a reminder of saying yes to God. But whenever someone starts talking about saying yes to God, it's inevitable, isn't it, that the question of how do I know God is speaking comes up. I remember standing in the back of the auditorium just a year ago, in fact, when somebody approached me and said, how do I know if it's God talking or if it's me talking? I'm like, well, that's a little obvious, right? Okay, if you're talking, you can hear yourself, hopefully. That wasn't what they were speaking about, though. They're saying, how do I differentiate between just my own personal thoughts and God thoughts? And we're going to talk a little bit about how do we know God is speaking? How do we hear his voice? But again, as soon as someone starts talking about, hey, God spoke to me, that may begin to kind of creep you out a little bit, right? Because like it's like drawing a line. And it seems like on one side you have the person or people who are like, you know what, God talks to me regularly. And then on the other side, which may be you, a lot of times it's me, we find ourselves standing there looking at those saying, either you're just weird or I'm not as godly as you must be. And it kind of puts us in that awkward position, like, how come I'm not hearing from God? We want so much, I believe most of us at least, to hear from God, don't we? We want guidance. We want counsel. We'll go to complete strangers even to ask their opinion about something just so we can get some kind of guidance. Anybody ask a stranger something very important this last week even? All right, a few of you. Okay, not very many are admitting to it. I beg to differ with you. Let me ask the question a little different way. Did anybody Google it this last week? Let's see. Come on, be honest. Anybody use Google this last week? Why? Because you wanted to find some information, didn't you? From who? You didn't care who. You take the best answer you could get, right? And so what do? We go on Google. Do you realize that in one day, this is hard to get your mind around, okay? I realize it, at least it is for me. Maybe you can get this. Do you realize every single day Google answers more than 1 billion questions in one day from people around the globe in 181 countries and 146 languages? Do you know how I know that? Because I Googled it. May be true, may not be, but the internet says it is. I'm going with that. I don't know who came up with it. I don't know who counted it. I don't even know how they count, but I believe it because I know how many times I go on Google to find something of great importance. Why? Because I want some guidance. Do you know as well that God wants to give us guidance? He's not this distant God saying, hey, you can just kind of figure everything out on your own. No, he wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants us to come to him and say, God, I will follow you. Just show me, would you? And so we can be a little frustrated because, like, I'm not hearing with the clarity that I need to hear. God went through some great extremes, in fact, to speak to certain people. He does amazing things as well today. And what I find myself doing many times is, God, couldn't you just talk to me like you did some people like in the Bible? And then you begin to think about what would be your choice for God to communicate to you. How many of your choice looks something like this right here? If I only had a burning bush. Moses had a burning bush. And God spoke to him through that burning bush. I have a burning bush. Anybody else have a burning bush? It doesn't talk to me, though. Do you know why? Because I would say, God, I promise I will keep it on fire as long as you keep talking to me every single day of my life. Do you realize how many times we see the burning bush in the Bible? One time. Then it went out, I guess. God stopped talking through it once he got that message across to Moses, and it was a very, very important message that he gave to him. That's not my favorite, though. You know what my favorite would be? If God were to speak to me, I'd like to have him speak to me through this guy right here. Anybody else? I'm not talking about Shrek. A guy by the name of Balaam was not getting that he was going to die if he kept going forward. His donkey knew that, though. And so God allowed his donkey, after he had beat him up, to say, "Why are you hitting me? Don't you see that angel over there? He's got a sword. He's going to kill you if you keep going." That'd be fun, wouldn't it? It'd be a little freaky. No, it was even more freaky. Balaam talked back to him. Can you believe that? Wouldn't that be cool? And we find ourselves saying, God, if only you did that for me, I would be a much, much better listener. Anybody say, no, I'm not a good listener. I'll just admit to it. I don't listen very good. We have a hard time. We struggle. And then to feel like, you know what? And I'm not hearing from God anyways. That just makes life that much more complicated, especially when you have these people who are saying, would you say your next yes to God? And we find ourselves saying, I would if you'd just tell me what it looked like. I would do that. So how does God speak? Well, before we get into how God speaks, I think we need to address a couple of very, very important things. It is so easy to forget, even to question God, because of the fact that we don't understand how all this works and how he does speak, and we want to have the burning bush experience. We want to have the other things in life. So we need a couple reminders. One of those reminders is simply this: God is present. Never forget that God is with you. Because sometimes when it seems like he's silent, that we jump to a conclusion, he just must not be around. He just must not be there. And he never wants us to come to that conclusion. A guy by the name of David, you know him as the second king of Israel, very popular figure in the Old Testament of the Bible. We see him bring great clarity to this in Psalms. And basically, he wants to let us know God is always there. God says it in multiple ways, but I like the way that David puts it here. He says, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. We all need to be reminded, God is always present. He is always there with us. That's not going to change. Wherever we are at, he is there as well. We need to converse with him a lot more than what we probably do, and not get to that place where we are questioning whether he is there with us. Because obviously, if we're questioning if he's there with us or not, we're questioning whether he even cares about us. Well, it's one thing to be there, right? You can be there and still be distant. You can have relationship or even have a high regard or respect for someone and still be distant. So another thing we need to understand is God is not distant. He is very approachable. You see, in human terms, as a person becomes more and more famous, they become more and more untouchable. We place them on such a high pedestal that it's like, you know what? There's no personal connection anymore. We do it all the time, don't we? How many of you have ever met someone famous or that you'd consider famous at least, okay? I'm not talking about your dad or mom, okay? All right, that's good. But you've met someone that you're impressed by them for some reason. I had an opportunity to go to a basketball game a few weeks ago, and a guy by the name of Michael Redd was there being honored. Anybody know who Michael Redd is? A few of you? Okay. I really like Michael Redd. He was a Bucks player. His dad's a pastor. He would donate to his dad's church. He would do great things in the community. I thought, wow, this is really cool. That's not the reason I went to the game. I didn't even know he was going to be there. But after the first quarter, they honor Michael Redd. So he goes to the middle of the court, you know. You know, I find myself saying, he's really cool, man. It'd be great to meet him, right? You know, he starts walking through the crowd. He doesn't walk by me, though. Thinking, come on. He's kind of untouchable here, right? Except for a few people could touch him for a little while. But halftime, you know, go out just like everybody else, take a little break, go get something to drink, get something to eat. Guess who is walking the hall? Michael Redd. Come on, people, it's obvious, right? All right, follow the story here, okay? So what do? I put my hand out, and guess what? He grabs it and shakes it. I think this is so cool, so cool. You know what I did right away? I texted my buddy who said he couldn't go to the game and said, guess what? I just shook hands with Michael Redd. Found out they're doing autographs, so I go to my son, let's go to the store, get something. You know, they're selling Michael Redd bobbleheads. Let's go get some bobbleheads, get in line, get his autograph. Five people before we get to him, they shut the line down. It's like, oh, bummer. But we've put people in a place where it's like, they're kind of untouchable. I got my moment, you know, but it's like, you know what? They have to be untouchable. They had to close the line. Why? Because he doesn't have unlimited time. He doesn't have unlimited space. I'm thinking, halftime's not over yet. Can't he stay a little bit longer? Doesn't he know I have my son here with me? Can't we just, you know, hang out with him? I know it's not going to happen. Do you realize, though, God's not like that. God is honorable. God is to be praised. God is much higher than us, but he is approachable at all times. He's accessible to us, and he wants us to come to him. You might say, how do you know that? Look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 4. In fact, go ahead, take your Bible, would you, and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. You'll see Hebrews 12 on your sheet there. You can cross the 12 out, though, and put 4. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Look at what this says. Very important message for us. Great reminder for every single one of us. He never wants us to mistake this. No matter how wonderful, how good, how amazing, how awesome, whatever word you're going to use to describe our God is, remember this. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with what? Confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He says, you can come. You can come to my throne. You can bring your requests to me. You can talk honestly to me. And I want you to be there. I want you to speak to me. I want to speak into your life as well. That's what I want. What that means for us is that God, even though he's divine, it doesn't make him off limits to us. Just because God is good, God is perfect, God is holy, does not mean that we do not have access to him. And our humanity does not make us unworthy. It did, but something changed. And we see that something, because we can't deny we're sinners. And a holy God would not be able to have us access him because of our unworthiness, because of our sin, except something changed. And we see what changed. If you just go back a couple of verses here to verse 14, look at what it says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Do you realize that's what made God approachable? Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said yes to God. He said, yes, I will become a human being. Yes, I will go through this life and remain holy. I will be tempted, but I will not sin. And yes, I will go to the cross to pay for the sins of every single person who will receive that gift of salvation. Isn't that amazing? That made access for us to God, to be able to come to him, to have personal relationship with him. To have that is something that's hard for us to get our minds around, a holy God accessible by me. There is a caveat here, though. That is, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not speaking to God. You're not. Because he needs you to say yes to him on the most important request that God has ever made of you. And that is that you enter into personal relationship with him. That you have your sins washed away because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you've placed your faith in him. So you want God to speak to you? You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't said yes to him on that point, you need to do so. What are you waiting for? He wants you to come to him. I'd encourage you to do that. If you want to talk afterwards a little bit more about what that means even, I'd be glad and happy to catch you after service even. It's so important for us to understand why Jesus said yes and what that means for every single one of us. So God is present. He's approachable. But does he speak today? He does speak today. God wants that relationship with us, and so he will speak to us. Well, how does he do it? We need clarity on this, don't we? One of the ways he does it is through Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Why don't you read this passage with me? You can see it up on the screen there. It says what? Together? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. He says, I'm going to reveal to you both the good and the bad. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you to grow, to understand me. And one of the main ways I'm going to do that is through the Bible, through what we have come to know as God's Word, Scripture. Well, he does this in a few different ways. One of the ways he does it is through what we call directives. Those are things that we would call the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. The things that are cut and dried, they're plain. And when we're wondering, does God speak? Guess what? The best place to start with is... The best place to start when you are wondering if God speaks is with something that is very, very clear. Sometimes we don't like the clarity, though, do we? Because we'll read it, and it's like, well, that's cut and dry. That's black and white. I wish I hadn't read that. Give you an example. Sometimes I worry. Anybody else worry every once in a while? Just a little bit. You're just a little worrier, okay? So everybody else is big worriers. You realize if you didn't raise your hand, all right? Got a big project coming up. I know I'm going to be sweating it. I'm worried already. I'm nervous. It's like, oh, I'm dying here. Do you know where I know not to go? Matthew 6. Do you know why? Because in Matthew 6, know what he says? Simple and very clear. Don't worry. Thanks, God. I needed to know that. And then he goes on. He says, you see those birds out there? They don't have to worry. They get fed. Why are you worrying? Aren't you much better than those birds? He says, look at those flowers. See how beautiful they are? They don't need to worry about what they're dressed as. They're beautiful. You don't need to worry. Don't worry. Thank you, God. I need that reminder. God wants us to look at his word, to look at it seriously. And when we look at it, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see some things that are direct, very direct. And we can't just say, well, God doesn't ever speak to me. Yes, he does. Anybody not listen? Yeah. Sometimes we don't want to listen, do we? It's like, God, I wish you were saying something else. Then he has something called principles. Principles are not commands, but they're very, very important because they bring a lot of wisdom. They bring a lot of direction in and of themselves. Does God tell you what house to purchase? Can you open up the Bible and say, yep, here's the address right here just for you. I wrote your own Bible right there just for you. He doesn't do that, does he? Does he tell you who should be your friends? No. Does he tell you who to marry? No. Does he tell you what to name your kids? No. Does he tell you what kind of car to drive? No. Does he give you principles that will direct you and guide you? Absolutely. Principle found in Proverbs. Very good principle that we need to heed, we need to look at, we need to listen to God when he tells us this. He simply says this, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Do you know what he's doing? He's directing you. You may need to look at who you hang around because they influence you. And all the parents are looking at their teenagers saying, write that down right there, okay? All right? Adults need it too, right? Sometimes we make some of the craziest decisions in our life because we're influenced by the wrong people. And so God gives us a principle. Is it a command? No. He doesn't say you can't be friends with someone who disagrees with you. He's not saying that. He's saying be careful who the influences in your life are, though, because they are of great importance. That's a principle. God uses it to speak to us. What's that mean about the Bible then? Bible reading is critical to your relationship with God. I can't emphasize that enough. It is where God does a good amount, some would say the most of his speaking, is through his word. So here's my question for you. Are you reading it? Because if you're not listening to God. It's not that he's not speaking. You're not listening. So when I say, are you reading it, do you have a plan? Say, I don't have a plan. I don't even know where to start. I've never read the Bible. Okay, read it. We'll give you a plan. There's a beginner Bible reading plan at the resource table. Pick one up after service and begin to use it. Make a commitment. I will read through. I will do this plan, knowing that I want God to speak to me. For me, this is helpful, maybe helpful for you. I know in addition to having my Bible, I have a journal. Do you know why? Because just because I read doesn't mean I hear. You ever have that person in your life, you wonder if they're listening to you? So what do? You follow up with a question. Can you repeat back to me just what I just said to you? Pretty good trick, isn't it? So God every once in a while says, can you repeat back to me what I just said to you? No, I can't. I have no idea what I just read. And so I find it's better if I repeat it back to him, to go ahead and write down what he spoke to me so I don't forget it, so I don't just gloss over it. It's important for us to read. God doesn't just speak through his word. He also speaks through the Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, we have an advantage to hearing God's voice because we're given a helper, he's called. The helper is the third part of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. That means if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you helping you to listen to God. It says that he brings back reminders of what God has already told us even. 1 Corinthians puts it this way. It says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Now it's like, whoa, now you're getting really scary, right? Talking about spirit stuff. Absolutely, but we all know it's there, don't we? Why? Because what God does is he not just allows, but he directs the Holy Spirit to prompt us all throughout our day. What does a Holy Spirit prompting look like? There can be a lot of confusion about this, so let me just kind of show you. This is what it looks like here, okay? Something like this. Have you ever had one of those before? You have, haven't you? I find the Holy Spirit comes in two forms, usually one of two forms. This is what you should do, and this is what you should not do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, don't say it, do not say it. And I say it anyways. And he warned me, don't say it. We have promptings. I had one just a couple days ago as I received an email. Didn't know I was going to get this email. Kind of woke me up a little bit. Came from a friend. Simply said this, very short. Says, please note, I will be gone December blank through blank for a biopsy, but I'll take care of things that week, just an FYI. You may say, well, no, that's not from God, okay? But what happened is after I received it, I got this prompting. You know what the prompting was? You need to call your friend. You need to call him. Find out what's going on here. Because there's only one reason you get a biopsy, right? That's because somebody has told you that there may be a big problem here. And you need to get it checked out. So I'm like, okay, God, I want to. But I'm not a phone person, okay? I'm a face-to-face person. But a face-to-face wasn't going to happen immediately, and this needed to happen immediately. So after I wrestled with God a little bit, it's like, you know what? God's saying you need to call him. So guess what I do? Pick up the phone, dial the number, and I call. You know what happens? Ring, 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 voicemail. Oh, God, you must have been wrong. They didn't answer, right? No. God says, just wait a little while. Call him back. Called him back. He says, oh, you know what? This is what's going on. You might say, you know what? That's not a God prompting. How do you know the difference between a God prompting and something you're just thinking in your mind? Sometimes I don't. But if I ever wonder if what I'm hearing is from God or if it's just something I'm making up, you know the best determiner of that? Go back to the first way God speaks primarily. Look in the scripture. Does it contradict what he says? He's not going to contradict himself. The Spirit's not going to tell you something that goes against what the Bible says. That's why just because somebody says, God told me to, and they explain something that you know is totally contrary to the Bible, it's not God speaking. It's not the Spirit prompting at that point. The Spirit does prompt in great ways. That's a yes to God when I said yes. Another yes was God said, you know what, Rob, I want you to go be the campus pastor in Muskego. He did it before I even realized it, 3 years ago even. Another friend to me who lives out in Muskego, I live in Muskego, so that's one of those ones like, okay, this seems like a no-brainer here, right? But 3 years ago, before we even knew what multi-site was, really, before we started a new campus in Waterford, friend said, hey, Rob, when are we going to have Fox River Muskego? I'm like, come on, that's never going to happen. We weren't thinking that way. I wasn't thinking that way. Was it God prompting? Yeah. Preparation, I'm sure. Thinking, well, you know, why don't go start another church? We got a great church right in Waukesha. You know, we don't want to have another campus. Why would we do that? Another year passes. Another prompting. As I see friends out where I live wanting to know about Fox River, wanting to know about God, my kids involved in the schools there, friends living in the community. And then God reveals to us, you know what, there's a building out there. I want you to use it for a church. Great things are taking place, right? Everybody in Muskego, you need to be cheering right now. You realize that. Because they're firsthand experiencing God promptings and people, not just me, many, many other people, saying yes to God. As Guy mentioned, sometimes, like we see through Abraham, our yeses to God are big, but only maybe 10 of them in Abraham's life. Do you remember how many small yeses, though, compared to that 10 big yeses? How many? You didn't listen to Guy, did you? Okay. All right. 5,000. 5,000 small yeses that probably led to some of those big yeses. We're going to have big yeses. We're going to have small yeses. Don't walk by the promptings. What do you suppose most of the Spirit promptings are? Big or small? Come on, you guys are chickens. What are they? Small. Many of them are small. Don't just gloss over them. They are very, very important. We need to be in tune, open to the Spirit's promptings. And the last one I want to hit and just touch on briefly here. Not only through Scripture, not only through the Holy Spirit, but God uses experiences in our life to speak to us as well, doesn't he? We know that. That's where it gets really scary at times. Because he uses our own circumstances even. Here's how we know that. Proverbs 16:9 puts it this way. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Sometimes I hate that. I got my plan, and God redirects. But he makes it clear, right? One thing I do like is clarity. We call that opening and closing a door. You ever have God open or close a door for you? Hopefully he closed one door, and then there are other ones that were open. Sometimes there's multiple open doors, and know what we have to do at that point? We have to discern. God, which do you want me to walk through? And guess what? All of them are just fine. Every single one of them at that point could be at least, but they're all going to be different, aren't they? They're going to take you a different way. And so sometimes God goes ahead, and he redirects your plans, and he makes it so obvious that you have to make a course correction. That's God speaking to you. It's him giving you guidance. Sometimes it's keeping you from doing something that you shouldn't do, ending up in a place you should not be, even though you want to make that choice right now. God is a loving God who's going to redirect. He's going to use circumstances in life that sometimes are such a wake-up that it's like there's no other way this could have happened except for what? God did it. That's amazing. When we can't just say that's a coincidence. It can't be a coincidence because it's something maybe I've been praying about. Maybe it's something that wasn't even on my radar, but there's no other way this could have happened except for God. And we can't ignore those things just because they're unexplainable. Sometimes it's not just our experiences. Sometimes it's the experience of others, and we need to learn from them. Wisdom of others is where God can speak. This is called wise counsel. That means for every single one of us, we need to get used to going to godly friends that we trust and ask them, what do you think God's trying to say to me? Here's the situation. What do you think I should do? Why? Because God says that those who walk with the wise are wise. So use the wisdom that God has surrounded you with. Find other godly people who are listening to God and have God speak into your life through them. It's not a burning bush. It's not a talking donkey. But it's the way that God speaks to us most is through his word, through his spirit, and through the experiences that he's placed into our lives. So God does speak to us. He wants to guide us, but more than that, he wants relationship with us. It's important to understand that. Would you read this statement with me? I hope that you'll kind of take it with you this week. Together, seek relationship and receive guidance. See, it's not just about guidance. God could do that from a distance. He could have just wrote a book and said, just follow the rules. He didn't do that. Why? Because he wants more than to guide you. He wants relationship with you. So if you will put the relationship first, the guidance will come. Allow God to speak to you personally. Join me in prayer, please. Lord God, help us. Help us to listen, to hear from you. God, especially when we are asking you to help us know what that next yes is. God, is there are those who are here that desperately want to hear from you? You'll speak to them. There are those who are skeptical of whether you do speak. Speak to them. God, and help us to see the life change that takes place because you are a personal God who is approachable by every single one of us. We praise things in Christ's name. Amen.